Let us pray. Your word, O God, has the power to change our lives and to create a whole new world. As we meditate on your word this day, fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may treasure your word with our whole hearts and fix our eyes on you. Amen. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. Let us listen for the word of God. The day will come, says the Lord, when I will make a new contract with the people of Israel and Judah. It won't be like the one I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a contract they broke, forcing me to reject them, says the Lord. But this is the new contract I will make with them. I will inscribe my laws upon their hearts so that they shall want to honor me. Then they shall truly be my people, and I will be their God. At that time, it will no longer be necessary to admonish one another to know the Lord. For everyone, both great and small, shall really know me then, says the Lord, and I will forgive and forget their sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Our New Testament reading is from Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, who were Jewish Christians. The book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. Let us listen to the word of God. That is why Christ did not elect himself through the honor of being high priest. No, he was chosen by God. God said to him, "My son, today I have honored you." And another time God said to him, "You have been chosen to be high priest forever, with the same rank as Melchizedek." Yet while Christ was here on earth, he pleaded with God, praying with tears and agony of soul to the only one who could save him from premature death. God hear his prayer because of his strong desire to obey God at all times. And even though Jesus was God's son, he had to learn from experience what it was like to obey when obeying meant suffering. And it was after he had proven himself perfect in this experience that Jesus became the giver of eternal salvation to all who obeyed him. For remember that God has chosen him to be a high priest with the same rank as Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord. Today, I'm going to ask you to do something, and that is to use your observations and a little bit of your inventiveness and see what there is to see in our church. But first of all, because we are in Lent, Lent is a time to ponder the big questions of life. And so from my famous or dear preacher, if you will, Charlie Brown, let us contemplate the stars. Charlie is talking to Lucy, and he says, "The stars are beautiful, aren't they?" And Lucy says, "Uh-huh." And then Charlie says, "I think that there must be a tiny star out there that is my star. And as I am alone here on earth among millions of people, that tiny star out there is alone among millions and millions of stars." He turns to Lucy and he says, "Does that make any sense, Lucy? Do you think it means anything?" And Lucy says, "Certainly. It means that you're cracking up, Charlie Brown." Then we see on Sky, Lucy talking to Linus. And Linus is working on a drawing, he's coloring, and Lucy walks up and says, "Hi." And Linus says, "Hi. What are you doing there? Are you supposed to color the sky. Aren't you supposed to color the sky blue? Blue? The sky isn't all blue. It isn't. The sky is many colors. There's a little bit of yellow, and there's some white, and there's some pink, and even some green. Are you crazy? Lucy says. Well, go outside and look for yourself. So we see Lucy walking outside. All right, I will. And she looks up. And of course, Charlie Brown is standing by. And she says, wouldn't you say the sky is blue, Charlie Brown? And Charlie Brown looks up and he says, no, I should say that the sky has many colors. There's a little bit of yellow, and there's a little white, and there's some pink, and there's some green, and I ought to punch you, Charlie Brown. And then Charlie Brown says, I don't even know what's going on here. And last but not least, I'm talking about life itself. We see Lucy saying, phooey. What's the matter, says Linus. My life is a drag. I'm completely fed up. I never felt so low in my life. When you're in a mood like that, you should try and think of things that you have to be thankful for. In other words, count your blessings. Ha, that's a good one. I could count my blessings on one finger. I never had anything, and I never will have anything. I don't have half the breaks that other people do. Nothing ever goes right for me. And you talk about counting your blessings. You talk about being thankful. What do I have to be thankful for? And Linus says, well, for one thing, you have a little brother who loves you. And Lucy looks at Linus, and she goes, and hugs him. And Linus says, every now and then, I say the right thing. So, let us talk a little bit about faith of our fathers. And what I want to bring to your attention is that when I've traveled in Europe, I have a tendency, particularly when my wife was still with me, that we would go into churches and look at what they had to say to us. And so you would see things that spoke to you very loudly. So for instance, in Frankfurt, we saw a church where there was a statue. And the statue was of Joseph. But unlike lots of churches you see in Europe, this statue of Joseph was holding baby Jesus. And you know, in most churches, you would see Mary holding baby Jesus. But in this case, they were saying to the assembled people that Joseph was an important part of the Christmas story as well as Mary. Then in Cologne, we noted in one of the churches there that on the walls, there were a bunch of family symbols, essentially the shields of the people who were rich. And that was kind of the center of the church. And so they were sending the message of maybe the rich were more important than the people in the church. At least that's the way I took it. In Cologne, there was a church that had been destroyed or pretty much destroyed in World War II. But during the process, they had put up and banked in a stained glass window. It was probably a window that was made somewhere in the 12th century. And it just had some red color in it and some white and some bluish color. Very, very pretty. And they protected that window because it was a part of their heritage. So what we want to do now is to talk about other churches. We went and stopped in Rome and went to the Basilica. And what I found there was that there was so much on the walls that it was hard to concentrate on any one thing because your attention was always drifting to someplace else. And so it was almost too much to take in. Very, very pretty. And you all know that I taught at the Air Force Academy. And the Air Force Chapel is a rather interesting place. All the cadets have to go to chapel. And if you go into the main sanctuary and you stand and sit down and look up, you will see a large cross that is just floating in the air. Or apparently it's floating in the air because you can't see the supports. And it's placed in front of a window that looks out onto the Black Forest, which is off the Academy property across the interstate. And the message is that obviously we're in the Air Force, so you have your floating cross, but God's church is out there in the forest, in the mountains, in the places that we can see. And so we always are in God's church. Now for your work. We're going to talk a little bit about our church and see what the message on the wall is for our church. So let's take a look at what we have here. Look around, kind of use your initiative and your ability, your imagination, as Charlie had to do it in Willy Wonka's Charlie Factory, and think about it. What was the song that we sang when we came in? We're right at the beginning. Come in and sit down. Or
you're part of the family.
You're part of the family. Now take a look at the front and think about what you see. I'm going to tell you what I see. What I see is Jesus standing there with his hands out asking us to come in. If we take a look at the pipes and we look at pews, pipes are saying, let's turn our faith to God. Let's look to heaven. The pews are saying, yes, but think about it. We are all connected, one to one. We sit together. We are in the horizontal. So as we are here, we look to God. The ceiling says congregation, believers in Christ, behind the importance of God. If we go over to the social hall, look at the cross over there, what do we see? We see the stones with the cross superimposed laid behind in the back, saying, this is for the socialization or meeting and talking and of the people of the congregation, but God is there. And then again, if we go inside the social hall, what do we see now? We see the history of a congregation, but on the wall is what? A cross. Remind us that God is always with us. So, when you go to churches, take a look and see what they are trying to say to you. See what their message is that talks to you of what they think is important for them. Because it will tell you what you may think should be important to you. As we approach Easter morning, let us remember the amazing gift that God gives us every day through Jesus Christ. That we can start each day with a clean slate, and our sins are forgiven. Please stand.